mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
I really don't want to be ride. One of she's these fans.
I'm cool as ever.
You know,
she's too
the kind
excited.
That does
her
the like revisionist history or the coulda, shoulda, woulda. But man, how wide open does the Eastern Conference feel right now, you guys?
Pretty wide open.
Like, if everything else played out the way that it did in the East, and Dame doesn't have the Achilles injury, yeah, it probably would have been a tough, you know, battle between them and the Pacers, right? Because it was already shaken out to sort of be that way. But Pacers knocked off the Cavs. Cavs are out. Pacers move on. Knicks right now look like they're going to move on with the injury to Tatum for Boston. The Eastern Conference Finals will likely be, we know the Pacers are in, them and the Knicks. And man, wouldn't this have been a year that the Bucks could have taken advantage of some of those developments? And I sit here over here and just am like,
But what will it take to give Indiana credit? Indiana's better than you think.
They get credit. I mean, because there's nothing wrong. I mean, there was one game where three guys missed for the Cavs, and then the Cavs blew that lead, and they had the miraculous comeback for the Pacers like they did for the Bucks in game two. But the Cavs are mostly healthy, had the best record in the East, and they dispatched of them in three games. Or excuse me, in five games. You get credit for that. It's not like the Knicks. Like, if you don't want to give the Knicks credit, because, well, you know, the first team All-NBA guy for the Celtics is now out for the remaining of the series. Missed the end of the game the other night because of his Achilles.
But they were still up 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah, after the Celtics blew 20-point leads.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you have the team with the best record in the conference out.
Mm-hmm.
You have the team that everybody thought, the defending champs, the team that everybody thought had the best chance of winning it, you know, according to Vegas for a long time, out, likely out, most likely out. It just, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Knicks. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Pacers. But it just feels like that injury to Dame Lillard was so pivotal.
I'm just trying to draw a parallel Indiana to the NFL because the NFL is so awesome. Do we have any?
I mean, it'd be basically any team that's been a 3 or 4 that, you know, that made a run to a conference
But they've done
finals.
It 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
They beat the Knicks last year.
And then beat the Knicks last year.
So,
to go to the,
I think
go to the
we're
East Finals.
Selling Indiana a little bit.
What do you mean, underselling? Because I think they're good. I don't want to act like they're not good.
They're
they
not better than
fell
good.
Fell into a win here against the Bucks and now against Cavs. They're fast.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know.
Carlisle, a good coach?
He's a solid coach, yeah.
See,
I mean, I don't
this,
think he's.
This does it feels like, okay,
I mean, Rick Carlisle's,
fine.
Rick Carlisle's been around forever.
Yeah, I know.
Forever. He's solid. He's not one of the best five guys in the sport.
Okay. Don't yell at me. It's
they Wednesday. Don't have anybody on their team who can hang with Giannis, though.
No.
I will say, though, obviously it got tough for Giannis when he was having to do it all against a much deeper team, I feel like. Against the Pacers. But here we are again now watching the NBA playoffs roll out, shake out, and I just have that moment of like, what if? And I don't want to be that fan. Like, but that's what my inner turmoil is right now. It's that you never know what's going to happen down the road. You never know how injuries are going to play a role. But I'm sitting here going, oh gosh, this would have been a year, man. Capitalize, take advantage. Make a run, or maybe, Gabe, you think they weren't good enough to make a deep run. I don't know. Like, I don't want to rewrite history. I don't want to sit here and act like the Bucks were so good. They obviously had their deficiencies even when Dame was on the court. But, oh, man.
Because, I mean, you also missed the first couple of games without Dame because he was, you know, still coming back from the deep vein thrombosis. So I think that factors in as well. You only had Dame for, you know, a game and a half or whatever ended up being in that series. So.
But is there a shift? You can feel a shift. OKC, Minnesota, Indiana, you know? It's no more Golden State, L.A. Looks like Denver's got a good chance to lose. I don't know. Is this a shift?
Yeah, I think so. And
is that
I think
why
it's...
you rebuilt?
No, I think that's why you retool with Giannis.
Okay, we're calling it a retool. That's fine. I'm good with
retool. Well, because rebuild to me means you're trading Giannis. Because like, if you're going to rebuild, you're stripping it down to the studs, and you're going to rebuild with whatever young pieces you get back in return for Giannis.
No, I'm saying those guys that have player options that opt out. Bobby Portis. Okay, blow the whole thing up. Lopez gone. Blow it up. The one only constant is Giannis.
Yeah, retool around Giannis. Yeah.
That's a retool?
That's a retool. Because you have Giannis. All right. You've got one of the best five players, one of the best three guys in the league.
Okay.
I'd call it a retool.
You think?
I think, and this is what I wanted to get to, when you're trying to convince Giannis, we talked about this all at length yesterday, for a gap year. And we did have people reacting on the Carbless Talk and text line saying it's not a gap year, it's going to be a gap decade. Okay, I prefer to be more optimistic than pessimistic when it comes to the future with Giannis. But I do think that you could use this as a selling point. I think if you're the Bucks, and look, I'm not trying to say that you have to, you're trying to pull the wool over Giannis's eyes, right? You're not trying to convince him of something he doesn't know. But I think the way the Eastern Conference is shaking out could be used as a, hey, look, man, like on any given year sort of thing. And you could look at it and say, if you think that we can put a team around you that can compete with the Pacers of the world, which I think Giannis thinks, competitive guy, and the way that those two teams battled in the regular season, I think you might make some, might have some traction, Gabe.
You take a look at the Western Conference, and the West is a gauntlet. It is tough. It is hard. A lot of really good, deep teams out there, and it's been a battle. I think that's the way it's played out. It's how you end up with a 7 seed right now and the Warriors currently playing in the semifinals. The East feels more wide open, and none of the hypothetical rumored outside of the dip bleep trade we saw for Paul George a couple of weeks ago from the Sixers. Like most of the serious suitors, it seems like right now, are coming from the West. And I know things change quickly in the NBA, but it seems like the West is going to be the better conference for a while. So if you're Giannis, all right, do you really want to go to a team out West that's going to be stripped to some of its young assets because that's what it's going to take to get you to that team? Or do you want to stick around in the Eastern Conference and see if the Bucks, who have been able to build a championship roster around you before, can do it again in a lesser conference?
No, I agree.
I think that's part of the pitch.
But I think it will be a gap decade if he leaves. Is that fair?
It's called something else.
What?
Pain.
Yeah. There'll be a little bit of that.
So we had a gap 5 decades between 71 and 21?
Yeah.
That was rough. So as we continue to talk about Giannis and the future of Giannis, I just want to make clear, like, as a show, I genuinely think that we think he will stay.
Yeah.
We haven't really taken a poll. I haven't really sat there and said, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? But I think generally speaking, it feels like there's a lot to like about being in Milwaukee. We have talked about this. It feels like sporadically, maybe we haven't put it all together, but there are times that we've even discussed like, hey man, he's got 4 kids and his wife is invested in the community and his mom lives here. And obviously Thanasis, like there's a lot of pieces that fit really well with what Milwaukee has to offer beyond what goes on at Fiserv Forum, beyond what goes on inside the Bucks franchise. How much do you think that weighs in when a player is making a decision about his future, leaving or staying?
It's different for the player than it is the fans, right? Because if he does leave, what percentage of the fan base, I don't want to call it turn,
like packs
but,
it in,
but will be sour? Half?
To Giannis?
If he says, I'm going to go take a tour, see what's out there, and then decides, you know what, I'm going to go to San Antonio.
I think there are a lot of people that are going to be more understanding of him.
It won't be Aaron Rodgers. It won't be Favre.
No.
It'll be more Fielder.
Correct. That's a good comp.
Well, I'm good.
Sorry. You're the Indiana Pacers of this show.
I thank you. I will take that at 56 years old.
I thought you wanted them to be better than good.
I'm good right now. That's, you know, right. I want that on my tombstone.
Meet that standard.
I'm good. That's interesting because I don't agree with you.
I'm just, the general feel I have is that, because this has been going on for a long time, there's a piece over at The Athletic kind of, you know, chronologically going, hey, this is what happened in 2020 and 2023 when all these, when Giannis signed all of his extensions and all the nerves and anxiousness around Milwaukee. But it feels like because this has been going on for so long, people are going to be understanding if Giannis decides, yeah, I won a championship here, can't win another, need to go someplace else.
Is it dependent on where he goes? Because I think people are okay with Favre going to the Jets, but as soon as it turned into Minnesota, it went bad. Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to come into play with the Giannis situation. Because typically that is reserved for rivals or teams you have bad blood against.
Yeah.
Do the Bucks have any bad blood with the two teams that could potentially put together
a package? Is it only two?
It certainly feels that way. As far as assets, as far as what it would cost to get Giannis, as far as, you know, like all of those things that the NBA is pretty strict on when trading players and value and whatnot. You can't fleece teams, right? Isn't that the whole point? You try not to fleece them?
Babe? Yeah. Yeah. And the Bucks aren't going to accept a lesser than deal. So you need a team that has young assets. You need a team that has a lot of picks.
Let me ask you this. Would it change if he said, yes, I'm coming back, but next year, then he says, I'm out of here.
I don't think so. I don't know.
It wouldn't change.
Do you come back this year and then leave next year? Like,
I don't think
so. This year is the dark ages, right? As far as, like, and again, we might be being hyperbolic and exaggerant there, but, like, this year feels like the year where it's like, I mean, a playoff appearance.
But the only reason,
you get through
the
this
only reason
year
I say that is
year.
Because Rodgers, you remember Rodgers, mm-hmm. We all thought there was a good chance he was going to leave the year before he did.
Correct. But then he got the big contract extension.
Yes. And then did he leave or get canned?
It probably depends upon who you listen
to.
Well,
it feels like the way it turned out, I'm going with canned. Feels better. I don't know.
I don't think Giannis, would there be a possibility that Giannis sticks around for the next 2 years and things don't work out in 26, 27 the way he's hoping or the way the Bucks are hoping and he decides to opt out and leave as a free agent? Yeah, that's a possibility.
I just don't understand. Why would you stay this year?
Correct.
And then go, that doesn't make any sense to me.
If you stay this year, you're staying the following year as well.
Correct.
If you elect to come back this year, you're sticking around for 2 years.
Eyes wide open for what this year is.
Yeah.
If you decide, hey, I want to be here for this year, it's because you're committed to the next year when things start to get healthy again.
Yeah, because if you're sticking around, the Bucks convinced you not of 25, 26, but of what can happen in 26, 27.
It's all about the championship.
Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. And they can't win one in 25-26.
Why did you disagree with Gabe? Did you articulate that? I can't remember.
I forgot what we were disagreeing about. I just wanted to disagree.
Oh, we're doing that today? Hey,
I heard it makes good radio.
Thank you for the heads up. I appreciate
it. If you have a good point on the other side, it makes
what
for good
disagree-
radio.
What were we
disagreeing? Giannis and the way the fan base would react if he leaves this
year. Yeah, I think you're wrong. With social media and as fickle as people are today, people like when their athletes are loyal to the state.
Mm-hmm. And Giannis has been.
And he has been. Probably the most out of every elite athlete in the state.
How long is that list, by the way?
Favre, Rodgers.
Yelich.
Yelich.
Would you put Yelich on the list?
Yelich is not on that
he
list.
Got a stinky.
Why?
Yelich is not on that list.
Braun?
Not on that list. He's not that. I mean, we're talking about
Braun.
How far are we going back?
Yeah, so is Yelich, but
Robin
they're
Yow?
Not Hall of Fame players. Rodgers, Favre, those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Yelich, Braun, zero chance of making the Hall
That's
of Fame.
That's the standard? I mean, if maybe it is, if we're having this conversation.
I mean,
we can sort of workshop it our way through it. But, I guess I was thinking elite players are just, move the needle guys. You know?
Yeah, but also the reason why I'm throwing it up there is because at the end of Ryan Braun's career, nobody wanted Ryan Braun. The Brewers wanted him. He fit here. But, my guess is if somebody went to Ryan Braun at, hey, come playing for us. You'll DH. He probably would have done that. He didn't. Same thing with Christian Yelich. We love Yelly. What would you get for a Christian Yelich trade right now?
Wow.
Probably not a whole lot.
Yeah. But can you go back to Robin Yount? Can you go back to Kareem?
Well, Yount was obviously the most loyal.
And Kareem was probably the least loyal.
Correct.
I think you're wrong. I'm still saying you're wrong.
You're not sure exactly what. Oh, you're saying people's reaction to Giannis if he decided to leave.
Yes.
You think there would be people who would not understand his position?
I think they'd be very upset.
I don't know. I think he's done such a good job.
There's a handful of people.
What did the fact that he sort of has to publicly make a mess turn people?
But Gabe, you even said, we were talking yesterday, you said that this could turn into a PR kind of
fight. Oh, yeah. Like,
fight.
The Bucks don't want to trade Giannis. Like, this is all on Giannis. If he leaves Milwaukee, it's because he says he wants to leave Milwaukee. And if I'm the front office, if I'm the ownership of the Bucks, hey, man, you got to do that publicly. That's what I'm telling him. If Giannis comes to me whenever they have that meeting that Shams reported that they're going to have and not have clearly have not had yet, when they come to that meeting and say, yeah, you know what? We appreciate everything you did, but we need to take our career someplace else and try to win a championship someplace else. If I'm Horst, if I'm Wes Edens, whoever's in that meeting, I go, all right, Giannis, we understand. You got to make that demand publicly. We're not going to operate behind the scenes. You got to say that publicly if you want out. And if not, well, we've got you under contract for the next 2 years, so we'll see you in October.
Okay.
So who is the loyalist? Did you say?
Yeah. Yes.
I can't remember who it was. That's why I was racking my brain. Sorry. The only reason I ask is because Jim in the 262 weighed in and said, don't forget about Donald Driver. From a loyalty standpoint, we're not talking about elite.
Sure.
I don't know what that means. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. A lot of stuff to get to this morning, including Adam Schefter.
The Indiana Pacers
wide receivers. We can get some insights about what's going on around the NFL from our guy, Adam Schefter, coming up shortly here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No. Not how this
attaboy.
Works.
Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gone and close the curtains, cause all we need.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter in just a few minutes. Yesterday it was revealed that Sean Ryan missed out on $2 million.
Oof.
By two snaps.
Oof.
Yeah. Do you know how angry I would be? Do you know the fury that would exist in my body that would then come out and be projected onto whomever I would like to say was responsible for that decision or just responsible for that development, but really I would take it out on anyone, whoever's close by, if I found out I missed out on $2 million.
I still think you give them a piece in good faith. No? I mean, two snaps.
I like it. I would want that.
You know what? You didn't get, you know, all the way there, but how about 500 grand? We appreciate what you did.
A million?
What do they care?
Well,
you just said they're cap.
Yeah, they're cap fine.
I agree with you. I would love to see them do that. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them say, like, I'm sorry, we weren't aware of the snaps, which I think they are. I think they always are. I want to be clear. I think they're always aware of it. But if they said, like, oh, it just sort of fell through the cracks in good faith, here is a portion of the money. However, doesn't that open the door? Doesn't that open Pandora's box for every other guy who comes up just shy of their incentives to then also go, hey, please, sir, Oliver Twist their way, you know, to the front office and be like, well, what, you did it for Sean Ryan?
Yeah.
But Sean Ryan also, it seemed like they wanted to get the rookie last year and Jordan Morgan some snaps, so he was in a rotation, even though it seemed like Sean Ryan was clearly the better player.
But I told you about Harry Sidney, right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Harry Sidney back in the day?
Running
and
back.
And Harry's fine, but Harry's Harry. Harry's just Harry, right? So he had an incentive in his contract for amount of catches, and he was at like 48, and we're in the last game, and he's like, Brett, I'll be in the flat, just throw it to me. Everyone knew we had this bonus, so he'd say that to Brett, and then Brett would get a little farther up to the line, and they'd be like, don't throw it to Harry. We don't want him to get the bonus. So yes, it
did
does
Harry
go
get
both
the
ways.
Bonus?
No, he didn't.
No. He's told that story before. Yeah. I looked up Harry Sidney's stats that year.
We call him Harry Two Rings because he always let you knew he had two rings. And we didn't have any at the time, so we're like, shut up, Harry. Okay.
Gabe, do you have a thought on which direction the Packers, would you like to see them in good faith give him something for coming so close?
Because they put him in a rotation last year, again, just so Jordan Morgan could get some snaps. Like, hey, we appreciate you helping out the rookie, helping bring him along. Here's a little extra something. Because, again, his contract over the 4 years, being a non-first-round pick, is only worth a little over $5 million. Over the course of the 4 years. Like, this year he's getting $1.3 million as his base.
Yeah.
Give him a little something, because it means something more to him versus, you know, at this point, if Rashawn Gary, who's got one of the bigger contracts on the team, right? Like, the $1 million means a little more to Sean Ryan than it does to Rashawn.
And that's two victory snaps. That's all it is.
Right.
You know?
So there is another layer to this, according to ESPN.com. Depending on the stats that you looked at, Ryan's agent actually thought they had hit the number. They had hit the bottom line. It's a 35% snap count. According to Pro Football Reference's snap counts, which are unofficial and not used by the league, Ryan would have qualified. It said he had played 1,146 of a possible 3,272, equaling 35.003. So his agent had them at 35%. Can you imagine sitting in the office being like, hot damn, we hit that incentive. And then finding out that, oh no, the NFL had used a different calculator and that they had fallen just shy of it.
They probably didn't account for penalties, because I don't think penalties is considered a play.
Correct. But the NFL would factor that in?
The agent probably factored it in. The NFL probably took it out.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to make the math work.
So if he played and there was, you know, 17 penalties when he played, you thought you had this, but those plays don't count, so.
That's why you got to run through the finish line. Yeah. You can't just stop at the finish line. The other thing that this article says, guys, is the NFL and the Packers could not just give Ryan the raise, even if they wanted to. They would have to extend his contract in order to change the pay, which would also have salary cap implications and could impact future extensions should they decide to retain him behind this season. So I guess you just chalk this up to unlucky.
Well, I can tell you this, and he's not good enough to do. Well, I'm not going to go there, but. They screwed me out of $30,000. Well, that was kind of.
Do you want to get your story straight before you spit it out?
I was hurt on IR. They claimed that I didn't tell them the injury. They knew I had the injury, so they said, you didn't really disclose because my back.
Yeah.
I went to the combine, x-rays of the back and all this stuff. So they said, okay, because they had all the leverage. They said, we're going to knock your base down by 30,000 because I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm holding out.
You're a sixth-round pick.
So that next contract that came around, I said, remember that 30,000 you screwed me out of? Let's tack that on. And I got it back.
Yeah. Since I have sat in negotiation meetings with you, I feel like I know how that went down.
Yeah.
I think it was uncomfortable.
That was fun. You guys have a story now. That's what I tell Ann.
You can't tell anyone that story.
Like, when I smash my truck, there's a story.
You think I'm walking around telling people your story?
Although I do tell people your stories, there are other ones I'm like, not that listen one. To this. We got to get to Adam Schefter. He's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times in one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
It is that time. It is Adam Schefter time. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. How are we doing?
We're good. We're good. We were just talking about Sean Ryan, offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, who missed out on an incentive in his contract worth $2 million by two snaps. How often does this happen around the league?
Well, every year in the last week of the season, we always do a segment on ESPN Sunday Countdown called Straight Cash Homie, and we try to focus in on some of those incentives that are out there that are attainable that day. Now, I would say this, very rarely do you find that a player fell, you know, two plays short of something like that. I mean, that's unusual. And in a case like that, I'm not putting pressure on the Packers, especially being that it's a community-owned team, but usually, and I'd be curious to know Chewy's thoughts on this, a team will just say, okay, you came up two plays short, we're gonna give you the money here. How much money was it?
$2 million.
Yeah, so this is also one of those situations, Adam, where it's the playtime incentive for the non-first-round pick. So, unfortunately, the Packers, because that's collectively bargained as part of those rookie deals, the Packers couldn't just go, hey, here's a little something for the effort.
Little Italian handshake, if you will.
Yeah, I thought out of good faith, Adam.
Yeah, me
maybe
too.
500,000 or something like that. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket to them, but I guess because of the salary. Can they do it another way? Like
under the table?
Here's a Lamborghini for $3.
No, there's no other way. You either do it or you don't.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could say, okay, here's 500. It goes against your cap, and you're not 500. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. I honestly think that in a case like that, if I were running a team, I would give the guy something.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, sounds like the Bengals and Hendrickson are headed for what? Divorce? Doesn't sound pretty.
No. But again, let me say this. How many times have we heard at this time of the year a player saying, I'm done with this team, I'm not playing for them, I want to be traded, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, that contract extension comes around. Now, the interesting part here is that this has been going on for the better part of 2 years. And Trey Hendrickson pointed out this week that he got a letter from Zach Taylor saying that if he's not at the mandatory minicamp in 30 days, he'll be fined, which he took to mean we're not getting your contract done before there. You better be there, which he didn't like. He didn't like the fact that they told him, you know, come in last year, play well, and we'll take care of it. He did that. He led the NFL in sacks. And while he led the NFL in sacks and headed into the offseason, he since has seen two players who had multiple years left on their contracts in Max Crosby and Myles Garrett turn into, at that point when they signed their deals, the highest paid defensive players in NFL history, while he's still sitting there scheduled to make $15.8 million. So there's a lot of things that rub him the wrong way here. And I think the Bengals want to keep him, but it has not been evident in the way that they've conducted their business with him per him.
Adam, you had the report yesterday that you put on Twitter about Jaden Reed and his representatives meeting with Brian Gutekunst, just kind of getting an assurance. Do you know who initiated that meeting? Was it Reed's side or was it the Packers?
You know, here's the thing. He changed agents, and I think that was lost on people, okay? So I think it's one of these things where a new agent comes in and he's just trying to get a feel for his new client, and they're coming off a draft in which they drafted a couple. And so the new agent just checks in and he's told this is what it's really not a big deal. You know, I was surprised that it got as much attention as it did. I just think it's, you know, I don't think it's a headline that somebody changes agents, and I try not to make that a headline, but I think that's what it is. Just like if any one of you had new representation, they might call the boss of the station and say, hey, just want to let you know I'm representing Chewy right now. Looking forward to working together. Saw you drafted two radio hosts here in the most recent draft. Any issue? No issue. We love your guy. We want him back. Well, I think it's like that.
I think, Adam, the distinction was this assurance or this purported assurance that Reed has a status as the top receiver. When you draft a guy in Matthew Golden,
I think that's semantics and words. Okay, I don't think they said you're our top like I think that they had the conversation. Chewy's agent just called it. Hey, we love Chewy. He's our guy at the station. Oh, okay. Now Chewy's a top Adam. Now you are Chewy, okay? No disrespect to Gabe.
Thank you,
Adam. But you know what I'm trying to say here, right? It's word salad. It doesn't mean anything. People are reading way too much into it.
But what made this inflammatory, Adam, is, you know, that report came out where Rosenhaus supposedly said, Goody says you're our number one receiver, but then Stanovich goes and says, oh, we're going to have competition at the right tackle spot where Zach Tom has been a mainstay there and is due a deal next. He's a free agent after next. It just that's what blew the whole thing up.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, I was just dealing with this element of it. I speak to the Zach Tom, Adam Stanovich part of this. Okay, that's you. I'm just telling you. I think it's one of these things that's gotten more attention than it should have. Right. I just think it's a case of a new agent coming in, checking in. Hey, we love your guy. He's our top guy. Whatever it was said. I don't think you saw it. You're the number one receiver. Was that the phrase that was used? I don't know. Top receiver, I think, was the phrase. Whatever.
But you see how this can fracture a locker room where Zach Tom is going to be paid Penny Sewell money. And he's like, what? You said this guy in his second year is the man, and all of a sudden I'm competing for my job at right tackle? What the hell is going on here? I don't know. It's very
fair
bizarre.
Or unfair, the perception was that somehow the Green Bay Packers had given Jaden Reed bona fide number one wide receiver status based on this conversation with Drew Rosenhaus. And to Chewy's point, the question was, right, but they force competition at every other spot. Why would there be a, what did we call it yesterday, de facto wide receiver one headed into the offseason when you did go out and draft two more pass catchers that you think could compete, Matthew Golden?
I think people are reading into this too much. That's what I think. I think it's a case of a new agent coming in, checking in on his client, getting the assurances that he wants, telling people, oh, you're the top, whatever was said. Okay. It doesn't really matter. Like, it's just an agent representing his new guy, checking in after they draft two receivers. We still love you. This isn't a reflection of you. You're our top guy. Whatever it was that was said. Let's not make too much of it. It's really... I think too much already has been made of it. That's my own opinion. People can continue to make of it if they want. I just think it's one of those conversations that occurs when you have a new agent. That's the big takeaway.
Adam, are you hearing anything Romeo Doubs to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, not heard that at all. Have you heard that?
Well, I mean, there's been reports. And didn't Rodgers say, hey, he's my guy?
Well, that was one of the reports that supposedly Rodgers really liked Doubs, even though we know better than that because they did not get along in his rookie year in Rodgers' last year in Green Bay.
And Doubs
I heard that. I'm not telling you that it can't happen. I don't know anything about that.
Do you like drama, Adam? I love drama. I think it's so awesome.
I think Adam is picking up on that. Honestly.
They used to call me the pot stir.
Drama is how sports talk radio and sports on TV, that's how those shows stay in business. Drama.
I'm in the perfect line of work then.
Because you like to stir the pot.
I love stirring the pot, even when I played as a pot stir.
By the way, did the hats ever arrive?
The what?
The hats I sent you guys, they ever arrive?
Joshy?
Yeah, look in that box.
Oh.
What box?
Got this a box right here.
Box?
Mm-hmm.
Is this our hats?
Maybe.
You think you're bombable.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Oh.
Hope by the way, I didn't even know the box was right there.
Joshy.
Snuck it in.
You old codger, you. Hope everyone likes their new hat. Thank you for all your great work, Adam Schefter. Well,
again, what, does Adam write like a doctor? Or you had problem reading
that.
No,
I thought it was ACC.
Looks like he kidnapped
Jen. We're not that close.
Is that a ransom note? I have Jen.
Oh, This is fantastic.
Thank you, Adam.
I forgot my hat today. I said it as soon as I walked in the studio. Look at how beautiful these are.
Nice.
Showing it to the YouTube fam. YouTube fam. Here you go, Chew.
Thank you.
A little master's hat for you. A little master's hat for you. And now I can put a hat on.
There we go.
This worked out perfectly.
By the way, that wasn't even set up on cue. But I was just like, I'm like, I never heard anything. And then the box happened to be sitting next to you. That was very weird.
Well, that's when you have a top tier producer, Adam. That's what that is. That's
yeah,
Josh.
So.
These are great.
These are luscious.
You made a wise choice, Adam. These are fantastic.
True, you couldn't take your hat off?
Or his headphones? Had to put it over the top of the headphones?
He forgot he had headphones on.
There we go.
Like a glove.
There we go.
This is great. I feel so official now. Adam, thank you so much for this. This was very, very kind
of
you.
Well, since this is from the previous major championship, Adam.
Oh, here we go.
We've got the PGA coming up this week. It's a two-horse race, right? Like, you either got to take Rory or you're taking Bryson, right?
Yeah. You know what? How about John Rahm or Tyrrell Hatton?
Okay, you could talk me into Tyrrell, but like, John Rahm has not played well in a major quite some time.
Scotty?
Scotty's going to finish top five. I don't think Scotty's going to win.
Scotty hasn't played here before.
Yeah.
Not that hindrance for somebody as great as he, right? But Shoffley's starting to come on a little bit. He's showing some signs of life. But I agree. Like, it certainly feels like Rory and Bryson. That's what it feels like.
Well, especially with all the rain they've got, like, you have to hit it long. Like, it's going to be a long golf course anyway. But now with basically no rollout because of all the rain that they got, you got it. It's all carry. And those are the two best drivers. And I think we get Rory Bryson part three. That's what I'm hoping for.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah, right? Sign you up. Sign you up for that. Sit on your coach Saturday, Sunday, and watch that.
The Masters is fantastic, and we'll take more of that, right?
Should we be rooting for this Hatton fella just, you know?
No.
Because of the hats?
He's the biggest baby in golf. I can't stand him. He drives me. Am I right?
Joey's not wrong. He has not said a wrong word yet.
He drives me crazy. He's like that receiver that wants a flag on every single play. Drives me crazy.
He's quite animated. Yeah. He's quite animated. The golf course, quite animated.
And nothing's ever been his fault. It's like an NBA player who's never committed a foul before in his life. What are you talking about? That's not a foul.
You know what's interesting about that with Tyrrell Hatton? Me and Tyrrell Hatton have a lot in common in our golf game. Nothing is ever our fault. It's amazing. We're both snake men.
Again, feels like we should be rooting for it, but Chewy has already vetoed it, so I guess we'll move on. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Really appreciate the clarification on the Jaden Reed story and these incredible hats from the Masters. Too kind of you. Thank you so much. And Joshy, bravo.
Way to go.
Setup. That was perfect.
You're welcome.
Had the little box over here. Didn't even know it because, you know, I'm oblivious to things. It's pretty standard around here.
It might have been sitting there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's distinctly possible.
But we'll leave boxes like that. I mean, there could be security threats boxes sitting there. And you wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't even know, right? Like, what do we got going on here? Adam, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, guys. Have a great week.
That's Adam Schefter. Love having him on the show, Gabe.
Our conversations with Adam Schefter every week brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do. Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
You where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
He meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Schedule release day in the NFL. So by tonight, we will know the whens and not just the whos of who the Packers will face and when they will face them in the 2025 season. But as is, you know, typical this time of year, things start to trickle out. Things start to drip out. And it sounds like There is some information dripping out. Gabe, what is the latest for the Green Bay Packers?
Jordan Schultz reporting that the Packers are going to be opening the season at home against NFC North rival Jared Goff and the Lions Sunday, September 7th at 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time.
First time the Packers have opened at home since 2018.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur has never started a season at home.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I would rather open on the road, I think, and then save the home games for down the road.
I would rather not play a division rival in the first game of the season. Yeah. You know,
especially a good one.
Well, yes. Especially because obviously these games matter so much, that isn't obvious, but also you're sort of still getting your feet out. Your feet underneath you, mm-hmm. aren't you? You know, like as they continue to shrink the preseason and as the starters play less and less during those games, I don't know. Are you still sort of, and maybe it goes both ways. Maybe the argument is, well, yeah, but they're doing the same thing. The Lions are doing the same thing.
Yeah, the Lions are doing the same thing, and they have a new offensive and defensive mm-hmm. coordinator that they've got to sort through throughout the course of the offseason. So maybe catching them early. Look, that's just the way it is. NFL wants marquee matchups in this opening week, yeah. and a lot of times those marquee matchups are going to be divisional games. So yeah, we have to open up the season.
You want layups. The reason you want layups is because when you're playing Detroit first game of the year, who's, you know, a top five power ranked team, they're going to be completely healthy. Maybe if you play them for the first time week seven, they're going to have a few guys that are missing. Both teams will be at full strength. But yeah, I would have much rather be playing the Bears or someone like that, little layup game. Or McCarthy, because it's going to be his first start as an NFL quarterback.
I thought you were talking about Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys.
No, he got fired. He'll be in Door County.
So how do you think that shakes out, Gabe? You feel confident the Packers can walk away from week one with a win over the Lions?
No.
What do you think the line will be?
Be tight.
Three.
Three?
Maybe a little less.
Three Detroit?
No. Packers by a point. The point and a half.
Okay.
Which means that you think the Lions are the better team because they'll get, don't you usually say three to the
home
team?
Yeah, typically if they're equal, then it's three. My guess is the Packers will still be favored, but it might just slide to point
Hutchinson
and a half, 2 points.
Be 100%?
Yeah, he should be. Should be by that point.
Okay.
Hopefully that offensive line competition goes well. I mean, get some really good ones coming out of it.
I mean, that's a lot of prognostication. We have no idea. He might not be playing for the first 3 weeks. Like that's certainly in the realm of possibilities.
Wait, he was going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, there was. Feels like.
Well, no, he wasn't going to play in the playoffs.
No,
that was Chewy saying that. That was not reporting. He was
hell.
He had a clubbed foot at that point. He wasn't able to lift his toes. I mean, I've seen the videos of him, but how are they going to bring? Let me tell you, if I had Aiden Hutchinson, I'd be extra careful, especially with a team that I hope to be a Super Bowl winner. He's not going a minute earlier than I think he should.
I'm just looking up Aiden Hutchinson timetable. 4 to 6 months following the fractured tibia, fibula. And when would that be?
That would have been from
October.
That
would have placed his earliest potential return at the Super Bowl. However, given the nature of the injury, on track to return Super Bowl. I mean, this is from last year, guys. So it says he's begun the off-season workouts. Aiden Hutchinson spotted at the facility. That doesn't really tell us anything. All right, well, listen. The game's not going to come down to whether or not Aiden Hutchinson plays.
I could.
Since he didn't play, play last year, and the Lions still got the best of the Packers.
Still could come down to that. All of a sudden, Aiden Hutchinson gets loose, gets a sack under 2 minutes left. Yeah.
I do think that there is value in looking at those offensive and defensive coordinators. You know, first run out there.
Yeah.
You know, we always talk about the impact that has on a franchise, on a team. All right, so that was just announced by Jordan Schultz. Again, as the day goes on, you will likely see more and more. And the way that this works, of course, is they don't even have to be Packers leaks. But as other schedules get released, it happens to be against the Packers, and you start to fill in the gaps. So it sounds like we know three games now for the upcoming Green Bay Packers season, and I'm sure there will be more as the day shakes out. Whew, man, what do you guys want to talk about? Feels like we've covered a lot of good stuff already in the first hour. Got yelled at
offensive
by Adam
line
Schefter.
Is going to be a possible problem.
Is the lottery rigged?
Yes.
Why? What happened?
Gabe's like, moving on.
Yeah, I mean, this has been true in the NBA for years.
The NBA lottery.
Oh, I thought you were saying like megabucks.
It'd be so nice to just live in your own world like Chewie manages to. He's just out there floating.
That's two shots I let him get away with today.
Well,
okay?
But he's wearing he's wearing the company hat.
He is. He's sporting the colors. But how many do I give him?
That's up to you.
I think half a dozen.
No. No. No.
He's behind pace.
No.
He's got four more to come in hour number
three.
You get three total? You better use that last one wisely, Joshy.
Wait, what was the first pop?
I don't know. I think he just assumed
no.
Was that third?
Was that when you put the hat on top of the headphones?
Yes, that was it.
Well, I mean, you looked ridiculous.
It's not on him.